Okay, good evening, everybody. So today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be learning some Shin Beis, Ifim Yud Aleph Yud Beis Yud Gimel. This is page Peitas on the Beis, page 178. Excuse me. So, Si'if Yud Aleph, Mishan Slach Lecha Yodo Betit, if a person's hands became dirty with mud, Mekancha B'Znav HaSus, B'Znav HaPara, U'B'Mapa HaKosha HaSiyu Lechus B'Kotzim, Avlo B'Mapa Shemekanchim B'Yodayim, Shalo Ya'ase K'derech Shu'osu B'Chol V'Yovu L'Chabis HaMapa. A person could dry his hands, or wipe his hands clean, rather, using a horse's tail, or a cow's tail, or some sort of hard type of cloth, but not with a softer type of cloth that you would more typically wipe your hands with, because we're afraid that you're going to come to to then wash that towel that you wipe your hands with. So in order to prevent violating the melacha of kibbutz, so one should not use a normal towel to wipe off mud. Says Mishnah Berurah Sivkat Nun Zayin, B'mapa HaKosha V'chein B'smartut Shein Makbir Alav Mislach Leich O B'Kosol. You could similarly wipe your hands against a wall, because you're not going to obviously violate kibbutz on a wall. You could similarly wipe your hands on any type of shmata that you don't really care about its cleanliness, because you're not going to come to violate kibbutz on that. But the bottom line is that it's anything that we're not concerned, you're going to want to try to launder the thing that you just wiped your muddy hands on, you're allowed to wipe your muddy hands on. When there is a concern that you're going to try to launder it, you're going to want to clean it, then you're not allowed to wipe your hands on it. It's interesting, Bir Halacha over here talks about, wait a second, you're wiping your hands on a horse's tail? Isn't that part of an animal? Isn't there a Nisra of Mukta to be metaltel parts of an animal? So he writes, Kasa B'Sefer Tosef Shabbos in the Bir Halacha, Tehainu She'ena Mechubar B'Behemo. We're talking about a horse's tail that's no longer attached to a horse. Dim lo keino kaim elon dosel tazal b'alchay avil muktsasa ad kan devarav. Because otherwise, it's going to be muktsa anyway to handle the animal or part of an animal. However, he says, "Lanias daiti yishlayim b'zeshlus kar b'bshem posik v'gam l'shanat sefte in mishul kol kach l'sham nisker gamkin b'znaf shul b'sh sar shul v'yamet gam zan of mayri b'tol shem kein akol chadamilsi." He says it's a little bit difficult because that's not the impression you get from the Shulchan Aruch. It's not the impression you get from the Tosefta, which is the basis for the Shulchan Aruch, and no posik points it out that it's talking about a detached tail. Aye, what about the muktzah problem? So says the Bir Halacha, Efshar D'Los Rak Guf and the Balichayim V'lo B'Sa'ar, and very fascinating chiddush. He says maybe the yisur of muktzah of an animal is only on the physical body of the animal, but not the hair of the animal, which is considered to the mechuber to the animal, but not part of the animal itself. So if you have a fluffy dog and you move around its hair, but you're not actually moving the animal itself, maybe that would not be a muktzah problem according to this Bir Halacha. Says the Shulchan Aruch Vayter now. See if you'd base. Also, the nagiv kos shahaya bo mayim o yayin b'mapa mishum dasil de schita. You're not allowed to dry out a cup that had water or wine in it using a towel, because you're going to come to squeeze out the towel when you dry out the cup. Says the Mishnah Berurah of Katan and Ches. Oh, yayin, ayin magen avram shekasav de b'shar mashkin mutal nagav is kosein choshen shami yovel l'schita. That by other beverages, you are allowed to dry out the kos with the towel, and we're not afraid that you can come to do schita. Ukedil kamal b'sim shin yotah sifir b'sim shalom adal sif chavdalin. V'das har be'achronim daf b'yayin ein lachosh. And many achronim hold, you also don't even have to worry about doing so with wine. Or because tsar yesh lahach miraf b'shar mashkin. But if it's a very narrow kos, then you have to worry about it with sharmashkin as well, because a very narrow coast, you're going to squeeze the towel into the coast in order to dry it, and as you're squeezing the towel into the coast, that itself is going to be schita. But if it's soda that's in a beged, we're not afraid that you're going to come to be sochet the soda out to try to save some of the soda or clean off the beged, because it's not going to be clean anyway. Sivkat nun tes mishum ratzalom rafil la poskim lel b'siv tes l'amrinim b'zeh shriyasu zeh kibuso. Even according to the poskim that say in Sif Tes, that we do not assume that when you soak a garment, that's automatically a violation of kibbutz. Mishum da mapa yanaki mitchila v'lo haya balichluch. Nevertheless, because the towel was clean before, it was not dirty, so soaking it is not considered a kibbutz. V'gam de kinuach zeh derech lichluchu v'lo derech kibbutz. Plus, when you're wiping dry a kli, you're really dirtying the towel. You're not cleaning the towel. Afilu achi meaning even if there's not a problem of getting the towel wet, because the towel was perfectly clean before you got it wet, so it's not going to be a problem of kibus and getting the towel wet, but you still always have to be concerned about the other issue, and the other issue is schita, that you might come to squeeze out the towel if it gets too wet. The Radvaz writes in the Tshuva, you know, if you're not really supposed to be drying out kelim that are wet with water, why are people not careful about that? People dry their dishes all the time on Shabbos. So Ladina in Lachush, Mikra, do we not have to worry about this? Because typically when we're drying our dishes aren't so, so wet that the towel is going to get so saturated that you're going to squeeze water out of the towel. Unless you dry a lot of dishes. If you dry a lot of dishes on Shabbos and your towel is going to get really wet, then the taka is a problem. Because then it's much more likely to lead to schita, and therefore we should really stop people from doing that. Ayin Sham, the Birkei Yosef quotes all of this from the Radvaz. And if you have a shmata that's made for this drying purposes, you know, it's a dish towel made to dry dishes where when you're not makbid to squeeze it out, l'kuli al mashari, then for sure it's going to be mutzer because there's no, you won't mind it being soaking wet. V'nira da'af l'nagiv ba'kelim harbe shari. And that means you could even dry out lots of kelim with it. Dim yia hasmartut lach mitzadech al yidei anigov inagiv ba'mitzadecher. Because if the dish towel becomes moist on one side, you'll just start drying with the other side of the dish towel rather than trying to squeeze out the moist side of the towel and trying to reuse it. You'll just use the other side of the towel because dish towels are meant to get wet, so we're not worried that it's going to lead to schita. Sivkat and samach, dasi l'day schita. We said the reason you're not allowed to use a dish towel, you're not allowed to dry out water from a kli with the towels because it's going to be asi l'day schita. Ayin b'achronim shasasim d'bekoshu tzar ein l'nagva afil b'smartut ha-miyuchal l'kach. So the achronim write that if it's a very narrow coast, you shouldn't even use a dish towel. Df shalol lovely deschita, meaning because once you're dealing with a very narrow space, the concern is not only that the towel is going to get so wet you're going to come to actively do schita. The concern is in a very narrow space that using it in the narrow space is itself going to be a schita. So even if it's a kind of bega that you're not going to want to squeeze out, but just by sticking it in the narrow space, that will be the schita, and that's going to be the problem. But a wider clique, like water spilled on the table or something like that, everyone would agree you're allowed to use a towel that you're not going to be makpid about, that you're not going to be too upset when that towel gets wet, because there's no concern it's going to be bali day schita. And wiping something off a flat surface is itself not going to be a schita. See if you'd gimel. A person should not look on Shabbos in a mirror that's made out of metal, which is very sharp. Pirushkin sakin koton chad v'charif. It's got like a small sharp edge on the corner of the mirror. Because the concern is you're going to see some sort of stray hair in your beard or something when you look in the mirror, and then you're going to use the sharp edge to cut that hair. And even if that mirror is kavua in the wall, where it's not really shayich to use it that way, it's still usher. It's like a low plug. Aval mutul istakel b'marishen b'chashash afilu ein kavua. But a regular mirror that doesn't have this sharp edge to it, even if it's not kavua b'kosel, it's going to be mutter because it's not the kind of kli that would ever be used to cut off stray hairs. Sivkat and samachal v'mishburishi charifa ratzolomer shesvas amar echad avasui l'shem kach. We're talking about where the edge of the mirror is so sharp that it's made during the week. It's meant for this purpose, that if you see a stray hair, that you're supposed to use it to cut off the stray hair. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, quoted over here in the in the deer shoe that we don't have such mirrors nowadays, and it's hard for us to even picture what it looks like, what such a mirror looks like nowadays. However, in the Tshuvas Or L'Tzion, Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul writes that maybe you're not allowed to look at your reflection in a knife on Shabbos. Sometimes you have a knife, you know, a challah knife or something, and you could see your reflection. Maybe you shouldn't do that because it's got a sharp edge, right? So if you see a reflection and you see that there's a stray hair, you might just use the knife to chop off that that stray hair. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoting Shulchan Shlomo that he's not so sure that that's true, meaning that's not what a knife is really typically used for. These mirrors were meant to be used for that purpose. It has a sharp edge so that when you see your reflection, it was meant to cut the stray hairs. You look at a knife, if you saw someone doing that, when you were a guest at someone's house, you probably wouldn't think, oh, that's a very normal thing for a guy to do at his table, right? So you'd say, no thanks, I'll take challah from, you know, the pull apart. You know, you don't have to cut your cut my piece of challah. Right, so that would be strange. V'yesh lachush b'Shabbos, shami yishkach v'yasa k'darko b'cholam. We have to be choshish on Shabbos. A person might do the way he would do during the week. Kavua b'kosel. We said, and that's true, even if the mirror is kavua in the wall. Shalo yuchal lahashir ba gam kein aser. It's kavua b'kosel. It means you're not able to use it to cut off a stray hair. Still, it's aser. D'lochil k'cham marshal matachos. Ben kavua l'she'ena kavua, because the chum were simply not mechalik whether such a sharp mirror is kavua in the wall or not. It's kind of a low plug. She'en ba, but if it's a mirror that doesn't even have a sharp edge, it's like our mirrors, kugon b'marashol z'chuchas kein shalonu, like our glass mirrors, v'uadin b'marashol matachos, k'she'ena su'y harifo, or even if it's a metal mirror, but it's not. It's not sharp. Since it's not meant as a kli to cut any stray hairs, they never had to make a gzeira on such a mirror. And there's no, they never made a gzeira that if you see your reflection, that you're going to run to go get a scissors to cut off a stray hair, right? They never made a gzeira that you're not allowed to look at your reflection in the water or, you know, in a window or something like that. That just wasn't the gzeira. Because when you go to fetch a scissor, by the time you bring it back, you'll remember that it's Shabbos. Chashash zeh, ayin yardesim kufnun vabbeiz ofen mutal listakal b'mara. The Mishnah Berurah just points out, by the way, you should know that looking in mirrors isn't so pashut. In Yeridayo, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a man is not allowed to look at a mirror because it's a violation of lo yilbash gever simlas isha, unless he's giving himself a haircut, or there's a nachri giving him a haircut, and he's afraid the nachri is going to murder him if he doesn't look in the window, in the mirror, or he's got to look like an adam chashuv. But under normal circumstances, men are not supposed to be so concerned about their looks to be looking in a mirror all the time. It seems that that what's considered lo yilbash is really dependent on society. So if in society it's understood that a man looks in the mirror when he wakes up in the morning and he brushes his teeth and he wants to make sure that he combs his hair, whatever, so you're allowed to look in the mirror to that extent. But to look in the mirror, the extent that a woman would look in the mirror, that luchara would still be a violation of lo yilbash. So to summarize what we learned today, we said that if your hands are muddy, you could wipe them on a horse's tail. And the Bir Halacha discussed about touching animals, but not on a towel because you might come to wash the towel. Then we said not to dry a coast that had water or maybe even wine in it with a towel because you'll come to be sochet that towel. And even when the coast is barely wet, it could be a problem if you dry a lot of them or if it's a very narrow coast. And then we said, regardless of whether it's hanging on the wall or not, one should not look in a metal mirror with a sharp edge, lest he cut a hair. But in a mirror that does not have a sharp edge, there's no Hilchos Shabbos issue in looking at a mirror that does not have a sharp edge. Although the Mishnah Berurah points out, there may be a Yaredeya issue in looking in such a mirror. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we will begin Simen Shin Gimel, same time, same place. Have a wonderful night, everybody.